Let's go to John chapter 14 this morning. I hope you brought your Bibles. I hope every Sunday you bring your Bible because we want to know the truth. That's why you come. Church is a place where you can hear the truth. At least this church is a place where you can hear the truth. So we're going to start in John chapter 14, but we're going to turn to several other scriptures today and look at this place called heaven. How many of you like bluegrass music? How many like bluegrass music? You know, the banjo and the strumming? Yeah, if you're from the hills of, oh man, they're ready to break out right there. Yeah, if you're from the hills of Kentucky or Tennessee or West Virginia, you grow up with bluegrass. And the thing about bluegrass is it all sounds the same. The music, the words change, but the music's all the same. My wife doesn't like bluegrass. She, that sounds the same as the last song. No, it's a little different. But bluegrass gospel, now that's a whole different section. All right, there's some profound truths in bluegrass gospel. All right, have you heard this one? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Now that's the truth, right? That's the truth. Nobody wants to die, but everybody wants to go to heaven. This is my favorite though. Now this is clever. You have to be with it here. If you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be left here after I'm gone. Well, that takes a minute to think through, doesn't it? And they put that to song. But bluegrass is so good, you can put anything to it, right? It works. All right, enough about bluegrass. Let's get back to John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me pray just for a second this morning. Father, thank you for the way to heaven that was made so clear in this passage and so many others. Teach us today from thy word, and I pray if there's one here that doesn't know the way, that they'd accept you today, and they would know that for sure they're on their way to heaven. Meet with us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. An Indiana cemetery has a 100-year-old tombstone with this epitaph. Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. A few years later, somebody added these two lines. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. The question this morning is, can we really know in advance where we are going when we die? And the Bible answer is overwhelmingly yes. There is a number of scriptures that tell us we can know. Let me share one with you real quick. In 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Very clearly, the Bible says, you either have the Son or you don't have the Son. And if you have the Son, you have life. Notice what the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say, if you have baptism, you have eternal life. If you have church membership, you have eternal life. If you have enough money, if you've done enough good, if you a certain kind of religion, it doesn't say anything. It all focuses on the Son. He continues in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You know, I've asked a number of people through the years where they go if they spent, where they go for eternity if they died right now, where would you spend eternity? Things like that. And they all say, or many of them say, well, I hope I'd go to heaven. I think I might go to heaven. I'm a pretty good person. Some of them might even say, I don't even believe in afterlife. I think this is all there is. There's no heaven or hell, nothing. And folks, I want to tell you today that we can know for sure, but it's all based upon the Son. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us that we all have an appointment with death, and it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And then Jesus, in chapter 25 of Matthew, says there are two places to spend eternity. Jesus says, "And these shall all go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Everlasting punishment or eternal life are the only two choices the Bible gives us for eternity. Let me simply ask you, where would you go if you died today? Where do the righteous spend eternal life? Let me say a word about the righteous. You can't be righteous in and of yourself. In fact, if there was some work you could do, if there was some baptism you could get, if there's some church you could be a member of, if there was anything you could do to get to heaven, Jesus would have not had to come and die. Right? There must be a connection with Jesus' death on the cross and its necessity for our eternal life. It is, and God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, "For he, God, sent him, Jesus, to be sin for us." Didn't send him, made him to be sin for us. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The Bible continually over and over says that there is none righteous, only Jesus. And our only hope for heaven will come through Jesus Christ. Where are the righteous going to spend eternity? Only through Christ will they go to a place called heaven. Now let's talk about this transition from this life to the next one. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This will help us understand what happens to our soul when this body ends and we go to the next place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go two verses earlier. I think the context begins in chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." Paul is simply sharing that this world and the tough part of this world is only a brief time. There's a better world coming. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal," or temporary, "but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then he's going to talk about the things that aren't seen, like our next body, our glorified body. Chapter 5 talks about the tabernacle. That is our body. Paul says this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." In other words, after this, we're finished with this body, God has another one waiting for us that's eternal in the heavens. "For in this we groan," in this body we groan, "earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Does your body groan? My body groaned. I don't know what happened when I turned 60, but now I make sounds every time I sit down and get up. The good thing, at 70, you don't hear yourself making sounds, so then it's all good. And I'm not sure what happens at 80. I'm not sure I want to find out. But I'm telling you what, I can't wait for a new body. And so what Paul is saying is we're going to have a body made by the hand of God waiting for us. And then verse 3 says, "If so, that being clothed, we shall be not found naked." In other words, our soul is not going to just wander around somewhere in this atmosphere without a body. I like what this commentator said. Paul clarified the fact that the believer's hope for the next life is not a disembodied spirit, but a real, eternal, resurrected body. Unlike the pagans who viewed matter as evil and spirit as good, Paul knew that the Christian death would not mean being released into a nebulous spiritual infinity. Rather, it would mean the receiving of a glorified, spiritual, immortal, perfect body, just as Jesus received. What would that be like, right? What would a perfect body be like? I hope mine's thinner with muscles. But this is amazing transition that Paul's talking about. He continues, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality or death might be swallowed up of life." In other words, this is not all there is. "Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Paul is saying, listen, we have two ways of knowing this is going to happen. Number one, God said it. And number two, we have the Spirit that lives within us that verifies and is going to take us and go with us to that new place called heaven with our new body. Therefore, verse 6, "We are always confident, knowing that where we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So believers, there's only one of two places you are going to be. You're either here in your body, which you are right now, or with the Lord in heaven. There's no middle place. There's no middle ground. There's no atmospheric place that you're going to wait for anything. You are, it's immediate. You are absent from this body. You are present with the Lord. Now, we know there are two parts of us, right? You've been to a funeral home probably enough time to know the person in the casket, there is no spirit there. There's just a body. All right? His spirit, that part of you which lives, that's your soul. That's your spirit. That's going to spend someplace forever. In heaven, with Jesus as a believer, you will get a new glorified body. Paul tells us the same thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just a few pages back, turn with me and look at verse 42. He says pretty much the same thing. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, this body. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, this body. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, this body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." Verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality." For you to live forever, you've got to be immortal. You've got to have a different body because this one is sin cursed and will not live forever. Look now at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Because there's a lot of discussion about where you go and what you are and all these. And I want to tell you that the Bible is pretty clear about what happens next. Verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body," this body, "that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself." So Paul here mentions that our body's going to be changed and our citizenship is in heaven. This was the prepared place that Jesus was talking about. Now, if you've ever moved, and most of us of Guam have moved somewhere, we either moved here or come back here, but you always check out the place you're going to move, right? You look for churches, you look for schools, you look at cost of living, you look at land and taxes and areas and all sorts of things. So you just check out, and the internet makes all that possible now. Well, listen, we are not going to spend a very long time on this earth. And so if there should be some checking out, we do. We should look at what the Bible says about heaven. That's where we're going to spend eternity. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions about heaven in this world. And Gary Larson, he wrote the Far Side comic, you know, and this is one of many he has. But look at this misconception, all right? First of all, I don't think we're going to have wings. And I'm real sure we're not going to have a halo. Those are different things. However, the real problem here is he's sitting on a cloud when the Bible teaches we'll be right back here on earth. And he's bored and he's by himself. And I wish I'd have brought a magazine, right? So if people don't doubt there's a heaven, they make fun of it by falsely looking at it like we're going to, you know, just sit around on a cloud by ourselves playing a harp forever and ever and ever. Okay, And it couldn't be farther from the truth. And then this one, Mark Twain, wasn't far from that when he wrote this in The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. The Christian spinster, Miss Watson, takes a dim view of Huck's fun-loving spirit. So she says, Huck said, she went on and told me all about the good place. She said, all a body would have to do there was go around all day with a harp and sing forever and ever. So I didn't think much of it. I asked her if she reckoned Tom Sawyer would go there, and she said, not by a considerable sight. I was glad about that because I wanted him and me to be together. Well, I'll tell you, I've talked to a number of people. And they'll say, well, I think all my friends are going to hell, and I want to go be with them. Oh, they don't. That couldn't be any farther from the truth, right? If they really knew what hell was like. I preached on that a year ago, I think. But if you're going to be alone anywhere, it's going to be in the torments of hell. But it won't be in heaven. So what is heaven like? We call it heaven because God is there. And every place that God is, that is heaven. But actually, the Bible talks about two different places. It talks about this present heaven where you would go right now if you died. And then it talks about the new earth or the new heaven where we spend eternity. So let me talk about both of those and then we'll be finished this morning. First of all, the temporary heaven. It is where God and Jesus dwell. We saw that from John 14:3, that where I am, there ye may be also. 2 Corinthians 5:9, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Philippians 1:3, Paul said, I am estranged betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ. Revelation 4:2, a throne was in heaven and one that sat upon the throne. And 4:13 says, and every creature in heaven saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Listen, I want you to think of your best day ever. Best day ever. The emotions that were involved, the fun that was involved, all the things that were involved. God was the author of that. Everything good in this life, every good experience you've ever had, God was the author. God is the author of love and joy and peace and majesty and power and beauty. You are going to be with the source of everything good that you have ever experienced forever and ever. You are going to be with the one who loved you and died for you. There is nothing farther from the truth than sitting on a cloud with a harp saying, I wish I'd have brought a magazine. Are you kidding? You are going to have the one who spoke the world into existence. You are going to have the one that spoke you into existence and then loved you enough to die for you. And he wants you with him. That's amazing. Andrew said that earlier, that heaven is an option for us only through Jesus Christ. So to think that any of us are going to be bored. This is what Paul says. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You can't even imagine it. I can't even draw a picture of it. Nobody can. Only God. You have been some awesome places, haven't you? I mean, Guam is a beautiful place. I can't imagine anything more beautiful, but there is. And it's called heaven. And Jesus is preparing it for us. So first of all, it is where God and Jesus dwell. Second of all, it is a place where we receive a new glorified body. I don't know if you're ready, but I'm ready. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like in his glorious body? I remember if you've been at the bedside of a loved one who is dying, you know their body's not working anymore. And you long for them to have a new body. I remember my dad just a couple days before going to be with Jesus. His kidneys were shut down. He was done. He was ready for a new body. He was ready for his Savior. I'm so thankful that is the promise. According to Revelation 7:10, this body will be robed. It'll have hands to wave palm branches and worship, and a voice and sight. And you see, this current body is sin cursed and will not live forever, and we'll have a perfect body without the taint of sin. Hallelujah. What else is going to be, what else is in this temporary heaven, this present heaven? The tree of life is there. The throne of God is there. All the saints from ages past are there. The angels are there. There'll be a crowd there. We see this in Revelation chapter 4, don't you? Where they are crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb." Millions of voices are singing. I mean, it gets good at harvest. I can't imagine how good it's going to be in the presence of God with the angels singing, with perfect voices. There, all of you that want to be in choir, never could be in, it's coming. The day's coming. And you'll sing with a perfect voice, and you'll have Dr. Yo's voice up there. All right, just singing out. Man, I can't wait, folks. And this present heaven is even visible sometimes. God opens up a door to it, a dimension, like he did with Stephen when Stephen is stoned in Acts chapter 8. He looks up and he sees Jesus sitting on the right hand of his Father. And then he opens up the doors totally to John as he writes the book of Revelation. And he lets us look in to what that's going to be like. Wow. But in closing, let's talk about where we're going to spend eternity. Look, go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. If you know anything about eschatology, the world is going to burn up. 2 Peter chapter 3, after the millennial reign of Christ and the great white throne judgment, this earth will be no more. 2 Peter chapter 3, you can look it up. And then in chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1, John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" This is where we will spend eternity. Now, whether God will reform this earth or totally remake this earth, it'll be right back here in the new earth and the new heaven, and he'll be here. Number one, this is where we'll spend eternity, with new heaven and new Jerusalem. Number two, the best thing about both heavens is that God will be there. Listen to me, God's greatest gift to us will always be himself. If you think you're going to be missing anything on this earth, "I don't know if I want to go to heaven." Are you kidding? God is always the greatest gift and the source of everything you could ever want. And he'll be there. And he'll want to be with us. Look at chapter 21, Revelation verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. And the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Verse 3 of chapter 22, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Hallelujah. "And they shall see his face." Listen, throughout the scripture, God would never show his face. Moses had to look at his hinder parts. But in heaven, in this new earth, forever, we will see the face of God, and his name shall be on our foreheads. Wow, what a place. What will not be there? Well, we saw it, we read it. Death will not be there. Sorrow will not be there. Crying will not be there. Those of you that deal with pain every day, pain will not be there. Sin and those who practice sin will not be there. Cursing or night will not be there. Wow. What will be there? The tree of life will be there. It's everywhere God is, eternal life. The rivers of the water of life will be there. An amazing and beautiful Jerusalem. Read what Jerusalem's going to be like. Gem-filled walls and streets of gold. You've heard it before. Jerusalem, just so you know, the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles square. That's from the middle of Michigan to Miami, over to a little west of Dallas, all the way up to South Dakota, and all the way back to the middle of Michigan. That's a big city. Three gates, there will always be open. You can come and go. It'll be a beautiful place. And we'll be there to worship and serve our God. The throne of God will be there. And you know who else will be there? Those who have the Son. Those who have the Son. Now let me ask you, do you have the Son? Do you have the Son? Do you know where you would go if you died today? Do you have the Son? This passage answers our question, can we know in advance where we're going when we die? Listen to me. Belief in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for your sins has always been the way to heaven, has always been the only way to heaven. No other way. Listen to me. For the Christian, this present life is the closest you'll ever be to hell. But for the unbeliever, this life is the closest you'll ever be to heaven. You don't want this to be your last place. You want heaven to be your home. You know the good news? You want the good news? You can still make a reservation. You can still make a reservation. Look what Jesus says in John says in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God brought you to Harvest today to hear the truth of the Word of God. And if you're here without Jesus, today is the day you need to ask Him to be your Savior. You're a sinner, deserving of hell. We all are. But Jesus came to die for your sin. He took your place on the cross so you can spend eternity with Him. Oh, what a God we have that would make such a place for us and be such a God that it would allow us in. Believer, let me close with this quote from C.S. Lewis. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the next world that they have become so ineffective in this one. You know what? Heaven shouldn't be a place that we just think about when the preacher preaches about it on Sunday. Heaven should be on our mind every day, all day. And we should be doing everything we can to take as many people with us. Unbeliever, if you're lost here, if you're not sure where you would spend eternity, I would love to take the scriptures and show you. Any of our pastors would love to talk with you, if not today, this time, sometime this week. But my question is, do you have a reservation? There are some bridge tracks out on the Welcome Center. I know some of you are busy on Sunday, and I'm not going to have a come forward invitation. But this says God's bridge to eternal life. There are a number of them on the back Welcome Center. If you're not sure where you would spend eternity, get one of these and read it. And let's make sure today that you know where you would spend eternity if you died. And then, believer, let's be excited about heaven. You know, if you went to an awesome place and had a great vacation, you know what you'd do? You'd come back and tell everybody about it. You know, if your college football team won today, you'd tell everybody about that. We talk about all sorts of stuff we're excited about, except for the one thing we should be excited about, which is heaven, right? Where we go. Take a track. There's a track rack out in the foyer beside the picture to the left. There's some tracks on the welcome there. But take a track this week and hand it to somebody and say, "What? This will tell you how you can have eternal life." If it's a workmate that you see today, read this and let's talk about it. Listen, aren't you glad that somebody told you? Have you ever woken up and said, man, I wish that guy at work wouldn't have told me about the Jesus? No. We're thrilled that someone told us about the Savior. You know what? So will be somebody that you talk to about the Lord. Let's just be a little bit more aggressive. That's why Jesus left us here. You know when you won't be winning souls anymore? When you're in heaven. It'll be done. You won't have any more need to do it in heaven. This is all the chance we get. right now to make a difference in somebody's life. I'm so thankful for the one that told me, take a track, be bold, pray for an opportunity, give it to somebody this week. If you're here without Christ, let me help you, let us help you. Come to Jesus so you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. What an awesome place we have waiting. We should be so excited. I am so glad that this isn't it. If this was it, this would be so depressed. Just watch Fox News for a little bit. You'd be just depressed. This is it. This is the best we got. Oh, no. It's coming, man. It's better. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for heaven. God, we're so excited to be with you and to thank you, serve you, worship you forever and ever. God, you loved us when we were unlovable. You sent your son to die for us, and it was the only thing that would get us there. And forever and ever, we'll thank you for it. Be with that one that might be here that's not sure. God, I pray today they take a track and read it and know for sure they're on their way to heaven. And then, Lord, help us as believers to be aggressive, to be courageous, to be brave, and to be excited about what's coming and try to bring as many people as we can with us. Thank you for loving us and being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.